Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Theo on blogtalkradio.com. And this is intended for mature audiences. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all the hosts, guests, or producers. So, having said that, we are two people shy of our guest tonight. So far, we have Dina Goodwin. Hi, Dina.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I don't know what happened with our guys. Hopefully, they're listening and they're going to call in. I don't know. I had talked with them and they were all gung-ho, so we'll see what's going on. I'm going to talk about guns and pagans. And I think that it's probably fair to say that we definitely are not speaking for all pagans. We're speaking for ourselves. And we know others, quote unquote, like us. So, I was going to have everybody, but you and I will just start out. What kind of a pagan would you describe yourself as, Dina?
I'm steeped into knowledge. I've got to learn as much as I possibly can about everything. So I'm a garden variety pagan. I don't worship anything, but I do revere nature and I uphold it. I have many friends of a lot of different pagan specters, but I'm more, leaning into the unified field theory of physics being the answer to everything, but at the same time, there's things that we can't explain. So I'm just right there. I'm a godless heathen to define
a godless heathen. Okay.
Yeah, Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, that's all right. And we do have Brandon. Hello,
yes,
Brandon.
I just heard the unmute. I'm always happy to hear unmute. People always are trying to mute me, and Blog Talk Radio is the only place where it becomes evident.
Well, you're not muted. Hey. So, Brenda, we're just talking to get started. Like, what kind of a pagan, because there's so many millions of kinds, would you describe yourself as?
Cantankerous?
I know him. Yes, this is true. No.
My background that I've studied in most, and I've studied so many different things, is kind of a paleo-pagan in that I've done a lot of work with shamans in South America. And while this is more of a technology than a religion, which is kind of weird. I've done actually been able to kind of dovetail the South American shamanism with Vajrayana Buddhism. So I guess, got a half a dozen initiations from the Dalai Lama, and then having my head beaten with a bag full of rocks that put all the knowledge that was in the rocks in my head, theoretically. gotta love them paleo rituals.
Okay, yeah. Beating your head with a bunch of rocks does not sound good to me. Dragon, is this you? Dragon, are you Firefox?
No, that would not be me. I'm not Dragon.
Okay, then.
No, I would be by the name on the moniker. I'm actually a host of a BTR show myself.
Okay. Well, we're...
But I'm also somebody who is a huge fan of DDP.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he inspired me to try and follow my dream.
Okay.
Fall by the wayside.
I don't know what happened to Dragon, but we were going to have, actually, Dina's in Georgia, Brendan's in Chicago, and Dragon's in Seattle area. So we were going to spread across, just to sort of get what, that was an accident, actually, but it was sort of nice. I'll say that I'm a Gaian multiversalist, because I had started out with the Wiccan Hermetic tradition, and I hung out there for a while, particularly with the Wiccans, but it's when I say that Buddhism saved my sanity, this is true. So I've sort of branched away. And like Brendan, you studied a lot of different things, and they do fit together. So much does, I think. But tonight we're going to talk about the topic, the gun, the Second Amendment. And I'm not going to ask you to declare what you have in your gun cabinet, because really that's no one's business. But I'd like to just ask, Dina, we'll start with you. How have you come to your position, and what is your position, I should ask?
My position is that we shouldn't really question any rights granted in the Constitution, I mean, first and foremost. And that's one thing that, you know, has made this country what it is. It's the guns. You know, people may as well face it. And there's been gun violence ever since there's been guns all over the place, and you're not going to stop it if you ban the weapons. So my position is that we have the right to protect ourselves, and one of the things that we have the right to protect against is a tyrannical government, when the government gets too big and too pushy and too forceful and completely usurps everything that this country was founded on. You know, we need those. We need those to protect ourselves, our families, and the people that would have guns taken away from people.
Okay, I totally agree. Dragon, is that you?
Yes, this is me.
Ah, okay, he is here. We're going to catch
I made it.
you up, or have you catch us up. First, what kind of a pagan do you consider yourself?
I am a Wiccan.
Okay.
I'm also the active high priest for a temple here in Aberdeen, Washington.
Okay, we were just, okay, because we were saying that we aren't speaking for all pagans, or even pagans who think as we, as individuals do, but we do know there's a lot of pagans who feel like we do about the gun issue. Brendan, what's your position on this?
Well, number one, I don't own any guns. Because I live in the, you know, People's Republic of Chicago, where they take away the guns from everybody except for the ones that are using them on the street. Thank you very much. It's, you've got two armed populations. It's the gangbangers and the cops, and everybody else just has to duck and hope for the best. My position, you know, I know this guy is just a lightning rod. As a matter of fact, I was having a interesting conversation on Facebook just before I came on about this, but Alan Keyes is one of the best writers on this subject, and he has recently put out some really amazing pieces on it. And I was just going to quote a couple of things from him here.
Sure.
Because government power, when abused, is precisely the source of the greatest threat to liberty, those in government cannot be trusted as the ultimate guardians of liberty. That task is properly and inevitably left to the people themselves. As individuals, in their families, and especially through local institutions, they were and are the proper focus of all decisions and activities involved in maintaining the well-regulated militia that is the key concept of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment's logic arises from the connection between the people's right to keep and bear arms and the security of their freedom. It aims to make sure that Americans do not easily forget a hard truth, moves to secure a government monopoly over legal possession and use of arms, war against what is in practice the sine qua non of the people's right of self-government. Unlawful bills, as in Obama's plans, the issuance of unlawful executive orders, that aim to disarm the people on what pretext, are the open declaration of this war against Republican self-government. As such, they signify the onset of what will inevitably become a war against the property, persons, and lives of the people. America's founders understood this, which is why the Second Amendment sets up a bulwark in the supreme law of the land to defend the right of the people to keep and bear arms. This bulwark marks the Rubicon that separates lawful government from the abuse of power by lawless forces usurping the name and authority of government. It also signals the moment when the peaceable courses of action envisioned and protected by the Constitution's First Amendment give way to the stern necessity that makes a well-regulated militia necessary to the security of a free state. And that's just a few paragraphs out of a really
well written.
Yes, he's a brilliant man. If he just didn't have that imaginary friend problem.
Hey, don't Don't just those of us with imaginary friends. However, this is so true. Dragon, your stance on the Second Amendment and us.
I am probably the most vocal person, at least locally, against the current situations that are going on. The only people that are going to end up having them will be people who are getting them illegally, and of course the police and the military. I fully support our military. In fact, as you know, at Ruthann, we've had several military members that we've basically adopted as our own sons. And they have fought very hard and are now out, thankfully, of harm's way. But they, too, are fully against the disarming of the American people, because once that happens, and as many other people, politicians included, have stated throughout time in America, once you disarm the public, the government can enslave them into doing anything they want. And I'm fully against that. I personally own only hunting weapons at the moment, and, of course, swords and crossbows and bows. But I don't see where the American people think that by banning weapons they're going to solve the problem, because it's just not going to happen.
Right. I was talking with Dina earlier, and we were talking about that old saying. You may remember, I think they had bumper stickers even, maybe, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
Exactly. I used to have that on my car.
Okay. So, you know, and I think this still holds, because we know our government's criminal, so it's just going to be the criminals are armed.
Exactly.
The law of people are walked over.
Well, we do need to also remember that the gun trade that we have, you know, we talk about banning weapons for American citizens. The guns that are going into the really dangerous gun trade, like towards Mexico and things that are like riding under these UN embargoes, these are militarized weapons. These are not a little handgun, you know, these are not hunting rifles. These are militarized automatic weapons. And, you know, ask me why, you know, I'm an advocate for the preservation of the right to bear firearms in this country. All I have to say is I'm an American. If you're an American, look around. That's the only answer you need as to why you feel more secure being armed in this country.
Yeah, many people have heard me say that the safest I ever felt was when I lived in Idaho. And, you know, all the pickups had the gun racks and they weren't empty. I felt quite safe. And, you know, now we hear a lot about these regulations. Well, I read those 21 things in the executive, whatever you want to call it, executive order, executive, whatever, that Obama signed. And now we've been hearing people talk about felons. And I just saw today some state is going to possibly allow felons to have arms. And I say this is fine, depending on what you did time for. If it was murder or violent crime, maybe not. But if you're in there on some stupid drug charge that you shouldn't have even been locked up for.
Or a white-collar crime, really. A white-collar crime has nothing to do with violence.
Pardon? Can you speak into the phone or the mic?
White-collar crimes. Those don't have anything to do with violence, yet they're considered felons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know several, one of which was placed in my home when he got out from serving his time to do his rehabilitation afterwards. His crime was white-collar. It was physically business only. There's not a violent bone in the man's body, but he can't carry a weapon right now.
Right.
You know, he can't even carry a taser.
Ah.
So.
Yeah. And that makes no sense.
And getting into the drug war is an entire different discussion, but, you know, if somebody was referring it to the drug war / prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
Okay, this was just saying that they were going to revise the gun laws in the state. So, I don't know. I had heard some people recently talking about the felon thing, and of course they were thinking if you've got any kind of a felony charge or conviction that you shouldn't be able to have a gun, and I just disagree. But I don't know. What would you suggest that people do now to protect this right, since they're trying to slowly take it away, or maybe not so slowly?
Try to educate people. Try to educate their children. And like a lot of people say, you know, we're afraid that Obama is going to take the guns. No, I'm not afraid of Obama taking the guns. I'm afraid of the people taking the guns.
Exactly.
And if you get a charismatic individual that can rally support behind a lot of people, then you can completely turn a nation upside down.
Well, that's what we got in the current president.
Well, yeah, the one thing that we have that's protecting us, you have to remember, we have not been invaded, you know, our shores. We've had no foreign invasions here.
I don't fear any other country.
Yeah, no other country is going to invade us. You know, we protect our own country here, pretty much. But we also need to make people understand that just because somebody is going to be stupid and erratic with a firearm, that doesn't mean that the million other gun owners out there are going to do the same thing. You have people doing horrible, and this is one thing I would like to clarify. I'm so sick of people using children to sway political opinion.
Yeah.
And their own personal agenda. I'm so sick and tired of people using children.
This recent Sandy Hook thing, there's so many holes in that bucket it can't even carry any water. And that's been showing up lately.
If I may interject something.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my name is George,
if
you are wondering. You know, I've talked about this at length with a lot of my friends. And, in fact, I talked with this with my first sergeant, who I served with for 6 years. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, George, think about it. The only people at the rate things are going, if they keep making more and more gun control laws, the only people that are going to have the guns are the criminals.
Exactly.
What they're forgetting is on the streets of our nation, across this country right now, at any hour of the night, you've got people selling out of the back of vans, pickup trucks, and sedans, all the very weapons that they're trying to outlaw.
Exactly.
And they're not worried about that. What they're worried about is the legal gun owners, like you and I,
right,
who registered, passed all the background checks, and did all the right things. But what they fail to remember is we're the ones that are doing things right. It's the criminals who they should be more afraid of, because they're out there collecting MAC-10s, Uzis, AK-47s, AR-15s, 30-06, 357 mags, and so forth. You want to talk about being afraid? The government should be afraid of that.
Yes,
not me, not my little .22 caliber, not my little 9mm 92FS. They don't need to worry about that, because I'm here to protect people, not hurt people. What they are out to do, the criminals, they're out to kill everybody they can with that kind of firepower. And all the gun control laws ain't going to make a bit of difference to them.
Well, that's the whole thing. The gun control laws will not make a difference to the criminals, which includes the government. But it's
something that part of the Second Amendment that says, you know, about our shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
Nice little phrase. Everybody forgets about that part after the militia comment, which seems to be going by the wayside. Everybody,
well, especially under
our Second Amendment, differently.
This current regime is just.
Oh.
I'm sure he's printed up Constitution toilet paper to use in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, somebody has toilet paper with his face on it. Actual toilet paper. Kidding.
A lot of people don't realize that you know, you mentioned the criminal faction that is so well armed. And if there is a situation where legitimate, legal, law-abiding gun owners are stripped of their rights and it comes to a forefront and there is an exchange in what could only be considered the right to possess a firearm in this country, guess which group of people are going to be the opportunists? You do not want to strip the law-abiding citizens of their firearms during a time that there's civil unrest when you have such a well-armed group of criminals.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you're going to want somebody to help take that element out as well.
Yeah. But we're talking now, we're pagan and we're talking about our viewpoints, but I'd like to...
Actually, I'm not a pagan.
Okay, well, this is a pagan...
I mean, I'm learning about it.
Guns and armed pagans, because we are. And so I want to ask the pagans, do you personally know some other people who consider themselves pagans who have very differing viewpoints than you do?
I myself, you know, my wife is against guns. She understands my point of view, and she would never want anybody to lose their right to carry a gun. She's just against guns.
Okay. That sort of surprises me, Dragon, but okay.
It's very true, though. And several of our friends throughout the country are definitely against them. Most of them have never voiced to me anyway that they are backing any of the gun control issues to take away guns. And they don't argue my points. They know my points are valid as well.
Right.
I would like to touch on a comment that was made a few minutes ago about we haven't been invaded from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are not going to invade right now because they know most of our populace is armed. You take that away, and it's one more shield that's stopping people.
Well, I don't agree that people in other countries want to invade us. The only ones I could think of maybe be the Zionists. But I talk with people on Skype around the world every day, and they understand. They don't hate us at all. They hate our government. But so do
us. So do we.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of us.
Actually, I served in the military from 2001 to 2007, and the theory that our country cannot be invaded is... I hate to say this, a very misguided idea. If people think for 1 minute that the United States cannot be invaded, look at what happened on September 11, 2001, and think about what happened there. If they can take over four planes, what makes you think
George,
they can't do the rest of the
way? I would like to debate this with you sometime, because I totally... evidently disagree with what you're saying about 9/11, because I do believe that our government and some others were involved in it. So this was not, I mean, they haven't even proved that those planes existed, all of them. And so that's a whole other topic. But I just don't talk to people who want to do any harm to us. They hate our government. We're in their countries killing their people. You know, they should hate the government. I mean, and they don't think much of their own either, most of them. But getting back, Brendan, have you met anyone in your day-to-day or whatever, you're working with pagan people who disagree with your stance?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's bazillions of the airy-fairy ones out there. It's like, it's so not nice. It's guns. They're bad and scary, and they're not like unicorns, and they're not sparkly, and they go make loud noises, and that scares me, and they should go away. Yeah, there's
glitter,
a ton
and,
of those
and
people
and
out there.
They're fine. And they kill people.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's, yeah, sure, it's... You know, when you know, I used to have Eschaton Productions, producer of Eschaton Books,
right.
And the sort of people we ran into when we did festivals and stuff, it was like, you know, you'd buy the book if I put rhinestones on it, really? You know,
there's a lot of Dina loves the expression airy fairy. I know I caught her on that.
Yeah.
But we do have a
we
lot.
We call them fluffy bunnies here.
In the community, we should say, pagan is such a big umbrella word, and you know it encompasses. One time, I was taught that everyone who wasn't one of the big three would fall under the umbrella of pagan. I don't feel that way, because it could actually insult some Hindus and some Buddhists and other people by saying that they're pagan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much at the point where if somebody says they're pagan, okay, you know, they think they are, then they're pagan. I'm fine with that. I'll try not to label somebody that much, but I know several people that I'm close to, who are just appalled at the whole idea of guns. And you know, it amazes me because they're not stupid people, but somehow they have this block. They just don't see that, like we've said, the criminals, the people doing illegal acts, are going to be the ones who are left with guns.
Exactly.
And
because if it wasn't for the oppressive, nasty, regular people in the suits and stuff coming down and making horrible things, everybody would be just brothers and sisters singing Kumbaya around the fire.
I'm sorry, they've proven utopia won't happen. So.
Yeah. And you know, I think this is the core sense. It's like, well, if it wasn't for all these really horrible people, it's like the Occupy people. It's like, oh, if the bankers all went away, everything would be fine. You know, there's jerks everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we can, you know, do what we can to get them out of office or get them out of some kind of power or whatever. But in the meantime, yeah, we're going to have the criminals who are preying on other people. And, you know, if your personal property, your home, this is what you have, and this may be your livelihood. So if somebody invades you and messes that up, they're not only messing your livelihood up, I mean, maybe they're messing up your life, your family's life. And these people don't think it through. I mean, do they just want to stand there and say, well, shoot me?
Well, let me tell you one thing that'll change your mind really quick is when you're sitting at home by yourself and it's broad daylight and somebody kicks your door in.
Yeah.
See, you know, I used to not really be that keen on guns myself. I didn't oppose them. You know, I didn't want one, didn't need one, but I certainly, you know, didn't want to tell somebody else they couldn't have one. You know, I was sitting at home one day, and the door gets kicked in. And I was lucky that the person, it spooked them when they saw me in there, and they took off. You know, what if they would have had a knife? What if they would have known that I was in there, and they kicked it in just to startle me, and, you know, who knows what could have happened. But I feel a lot more secure in my own home now, knowing that...
Yeah.
Before the time it would take them to get to any door in the house to me, I could have a weapon on them. And it could save my life. You know, it could save the life of my family, my friends. And
right.
I don't play around anymore. And most people that are opposed to guns, they don't have much experience with firearms.
No.
They've never gone around them. They believe that guns kill people. They think that, you know, they'll just fire automatically.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that knives and bricks and sticks don't.
Yeah, right.
Yes, if a violent act is going to be perpetrated on someone, it's not going to matter what weapon they have at hand. When you get angry enough to kill somebody, if you think about it, you're not going to care if you've got a gun, a knife, a stick, a tire iron. You're going to commit that violent act.
Yeah. So it's not a matter. Well, the week, in fact, within a day or two, I believe, of Sandy Hook, a man in China knifed 20-some school kids and teachers. Now, it's true that they weren't killed, but with a knife, he actually knifed that many. Now, how do you knife that many? So to the point where they don't run away or something.
This was another point I wanted to bring up also about what's driving this thing, is that the media won't report things that don't follow the narrative.
Yes.
There's the narrative that guns are bad, guns have to go away, we all have to worship Barack Obama, and that anything that doesn't fit into that narrative doesn't make it onto most of the mainstream media broadcasts.
Right.
It's buried, if it gets into the paper at all, it's buried deep, and there's no emphasis put on. So, as you say, you can have a massacre that somebody's using knives or bricks or clubs.
Yeah.
No one's going to pay attention to that because it isn't advancing the narrative.
Society's got to have a villain. You know, society's always got to have that villain to make everybody feel good about themselves to hate it. And, you know, guns just happens to be a pretty big pariah in the scene of society, especially, you know, with all the, like, the forefront, most of the attention being brought to the gun violence. Like you said, you know, they sweep things under the rug that doesn't serve their agenda. You know, if it doesn't sell a Snuggly, you know, don't put it on the news.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who grew up in Watts, and he has very mixed feelings over guns. He doesn't own one. He understands our point, but just because of the gang violence, he has just strange feelings. Now, I myself, I can't say for sure, but I think that growing up in that kind of a situation would make me want more than ever to be armed. But that's just me. I think what Dina said is true, though. A lot of these people who are anti have never had any type of experience where they where their life was in danger or their families or something.
Exactly.
So, you know, until it happens to you, but the thing is, we don't want it to happen to you, and it's less likely to happen to you if you're armed. I saw the other day online a sign, and this was like the height of stupidity. You know, it's that sign on your back, kick me. I used to have a roommate that got mugged every week for probably 2 months. A lot of people were living with me, and he was a nurse, and he'd get paid. I think he got paid actually every 2 weeks, so it was every 2 weeks. And the thing was, he would get paid cash a check, get really drunk, go hang out somewhere, and get mugged. And it's like you're making it obvious. Well, this sign I saw said, you know, like, we're proud. What is this? Oh, this is a no-gun zone. And, you know, kind of an arrow pointing to, you know, but my neighbor's armed kind of thing. And, you know, you don't put up a sign in your yard saying you don't have a gun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, if you're supposed to be shot for being stupid, that would be a place to go.
But it would be really nice if stupid was painful.
Yeah, instead of painful for the rest of us, if it was painful for the stupid people.
Yeah.
They may legalize drugs, man.
There you go. Yeah, there could be all kinds of benefits, right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I know in the pagan community we have some groups that are more thought to be maybe more, I don't want to say macho, but maybe armed. You know, we have Asatru and a few actual heathen groups, but I personally don't know if they would tend to be more armed than the rest of the community or not. Any thoughts on that?
I suspect so, because philosophically they're in that thing. Now, none of my native teachers had any problem with violent solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's part of their traditions. I mean, somebody messes with you, you mess them up.
Right.
So it isn't, you know, it isn't, oh, we have to just, you know, be pretty flowers out in the field and just hope that no one's going to run over us. You know, it's, I mean, we're talking about Incan shamanism here. You know,
yeah.
And it's not exactly like I was studying Aztec. We weren't ripping anybody's heart out, mind you, but
that was good. Okay.
Dude, I sound like we're cut from the same cloth.
I love when Brendan does that voice, because Brendan's a big guy, and just visualizing him doing this voice is just wonderful. Because he does it so well, because he's heard these people.
endlessly. I mean, when I would be sitting there trying to sell books, and I'm getting somebody who's doing like a spirit reading on one of my free magazines, whether they want to take it or not, if the vibe was right. And it's like, just take the frick. I don't need a psychic reading of my newsletter, okay? it's 8 pieces of paper. If you want to recycle it, go ahead.
So, you guys, you can tell Brendan doesn't do festivals anymore. But you still write.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been blogging for 10 years, and I had to quit writing poetry because it was making me too depressed.
No.
That's a whole nother story.
Some of your poetry was pretty depressing.
My poetry was magnificently morbid. I still read it on occasion and say, man, this stuff's good, but it was forming one of those little NLP loops that it would be pulling it out of my innards, and then I'd be concretizing it by writing it, and then it would kind of go back into my psyche, and it would just feed back into that. So I actually, it was like when I quit drinking, I had to quit writing.
Going through your teenage girl phase. Grim poetry.
But he used the words he had. He has a way with words, definitely, but it was just so depressing. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Someday, some goth metal band is going to discover my archives, and then I'll be famous.
That's it. That will do it. Yeah. Well, you all have children. Tell me, how are you going to bring them into, I shouldn't say your way of thinking, but what kind of education are you going to give them about our rights in this country?
Well, one thing, you know, we don't want to touch on the subject of September 11th. I mean, we already scratched that out. But I've asked my daughter, she's only 11, numerous times what they tell her about that at school. And, you know, she says they haven't taught anything. And,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to say that you want to give children your thoughts and notions because you know that can be so dangerous now. You want to look at them as individuals. You want to teach them to think for themselves, yet you want to make sure that no other influence is held over them to the point that would sway them and deprive them of their independent thought and opinion. So I guess the best that I can say is, you know, just be yourself around your kids, and if they question something you do or you say or you think, explain it at that point.
Yeah.
That was the philosophy Phoenix and I had with our children. All of them now are adults, and remarkably, somehow, both of us have rubbed off on them very well.
Mm-hmm.
They're very personable. They're very emotional, but they're also have backbones and their own opinions. And all three of them actually agree with they shouldn't keep taking the rights American citizens, which I know they got from me. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But no, they're all very boisterous. They'll definitely frankly tell people what their opinion is, and they don't care if people like it or not. And especially if it's not the popular opinion, you know. So I'm very proud of all three of our children. They're doing very well, and they're very much their own person.
That's excellent.
That's made me very proud.
Yeah.
But they definitely have their own opinions about everything political. Some of them don't agree with mine. Most of them do, and I don't know how that happened, but I'm happy.
What about you, Brendan?
Well, my girls are 13 and 17, and I have successfully managed to have them being both religiously and politically agnostic.
Okay.
Politically, I mean, I don't get to have these discussions because it's one of those things. It's like, don't talk politics around Daddy because he's going into one of his rants.
My wife.
So there is a certain amount of oh, you don't want no don't bring up that subject around my dad. And so I really don't know where they fall on that spectrum, but they haven't been, like, throwing anything particularly the other side in my face, which I suppose if they were holding those opinions by this point, they would be.
Yeah, at that age, 13 and 17, they'd be doing it just because.
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
So, despite my better efforts of raising more extreme religious-viewed children, I have a couple of pretty solid agnostics, I think.
That's good.
Yeah, and so I kept trying to get them interested, and neither of them really have much interest in religion. I mean, it's what you get when you grow up in a house that's full of Tonkas and statuary and.
it's like
that's what Daddy's weird shit, you know.
Right, and so at this point they definitely can't be agreeing with you, however they may down the road, but. Yeah,
but at least they're not disagreeing with me, so I think I did okay.
Yeah. As long as they're not striking back ferociously, just anti everything you stand for, I think you've done a good job.
Well, there was a wonderful story about China Kantner, Paul Kantner and Grace Slick's daughter, and as a story came from Grace Slick. And she was saying, you know, she really felt bad for the kid because what was the kid going to do to rebel against Grace Slick? I mean, there wasn't anything to do. And so she went real preppy and was constantly correcting her mother's grammar in public.
See, that's she was striking back. That's funny. Well, besides then your immediate family, what about your siblings or parents, aunts, uncles, cousins?
Oh, God, my parents are both diehard conservative Republicans, and my sister works for a defense contractor, so you can imagine what our dinner table discussions are.
Okay, so they're pretty much okay with guns.
Actually, no, they're not.
Wow.
They disagree with every single point. You would think that being conservative, they would advocate against guns, but they don't.
Wow. What about you, Dragon? What about you, family, or Cat's family?
90% of my family is all pro-gun. Even my sister who works for CPS and sees some of the violence.
Can you speak up just a little? I'm sorry.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
The majority of my family, especially my parents, are pro-gun. And to the point of my dad will look at you and go, you can have my gun when you pry it from my gold dead hand. My sister, who works for CPS and actually sees some of the violence that happens to children with guns, is surprisingly pro-gun. She has several of her own, including a range pistol. My wife's family, a good portion of them, it's kind of split. Some are for guns, some are against. And the holidays here, because we're near her family, the holidays here, I kind of have to watch how far I get with my ranting, because. There are several of them I don't want to offend. The others I don't care. But there are several of them I don't want to offend. I love them dearly, and you know, they've been very good to me. And I definitely don't want to offend that because it's nice to have in-laws that are like that. But I'd say the majority on both sides, though, are definitely against the current actions against guns.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, Brendan? Your family, your wife's family?
You know, I've got a real small family. I've got one brother. My wife's got one sister. And frankly, my brother's and his wife, you know, I don't know how they feel about guns. We're kind of, it was very messy after my mom died and my sister-in-law was a grabby bitch and blah, 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 blah. But I don't talk with them very much. But as I understand it, they make me look liberal. Yes, thank you very much. So I assume they're pretty much pro-gun, but I can't imagine them. I just can't imagine my brother with a gun because he's like a liberal with a conservative overwash on it. You know, one of those people that would be socially, you know, want to control everything, but doesn't want to be taxed. my wife's sister and her husband are also pretty much you know, and I used to be an officer with the Libertarian Party of Chicago. So I walked away from the GOP when they had saddled George Bush Sr. with what's his name from Indiana, Dan Quayle.
Quayle.
Which was obviously a sop to the religious right, and I just could not be supportive in that situation with having this fundy moron a heartbeat away from the presidency, where they could have had Jack Kemp in that. What an awesome thing Bush Kemp would have been. Anyway, and we wouldn't have had Bubba, and which means we wouldn't have had George Jr.
My goodness.
Anyway, I walked away from the Republican Party back then. So I was about to describe my in-laws as being extremely Republican, which most people say, well, Brendan, aren't you extremely Republican? I said, no, I'm extremely Libertarian.
Okay. So, my relatives, like you, I don't have a large family, or at least the ones that I see, but my cousins and they and their kids, I mean, everybody is very pro-gun, and I don't even know how many they own. It's my cousin says that he expects riots in the streets and a revolution that takes form. I mean, like a bloodbath is what he's looking for. He's not happily looking for it, but he just thinks that that's going to happen. And I'm hoping he's very wrong on that. But I want to ask you, what do you foresee?
Well,
I see socially that people are just going to keep going down that slippery slope, and they're going to keep buying into propaganda, and we're going to lose. I don't think they're going to try to disarm people, but I think that they're going to try to put up more regulations, make it more difficult. They may actually put more laws into effect with firearms when they're involved.
That's very possible. Dragon?
I don't know. I've been kind of overly verbal on my opinion on this. There is a revolution brewing somewhere in the very near future.
Can you speak up, please?
I've been overly verbal about this, I think, and for most of my life now. There is kind of a revolution, I think, coming pretty soon here, if they keep going the way they're going with the current laws and the taking of freedoms. And there's between people in the NRA and people in a few other groups, I don't see this coming out peacefully for quite a while. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Okay. Brendan?
Well, you know, I had my start in kind of an apocalyptic cult, which I joined in my teenage years. And so there's been part of me that has been waiting for Helter Skelter for a very long time. And I think Helter Skelter is exactly what's going to be coming down. And very much the way Manson envisioned it, which is very weird in itself. However, on one side, I think, is the trend. On the other side, we have so much sloth in this country.
Yeah.
And you can't really run a revolution off the couch. And if as a libertarian, I have been pushing for legalization of everything for a very long time. You open up that pent-up market for marijuana across the country, you're going to have huge percentages not willing to get off the couch unless it involves Cheetos.
Mm.
And so I think there's just a level of sloth and apathy that is not going to create the really juicy revolution kind of thing, because the people that are clear-headed and armed and angry, it makes the other ones easy pickings, fish in a barrel, if you would.
Well, they say it just takes 5 to 10% of the populace to really bring about a major change.
But think of how many different opinions there are. They would want to bring change out for their own agenda. It wouldn't be something that would benefit everybody as a whole. We would have people splinter into small, self-serving groups eventually. But I do agree with the whole lazy thing because, you know, people fight their own personal wars over the Internet every day. And as long as they have that platform and somebody to indulge them, they're not going to get up off their ass. As long as they've got everything they need to give them comfort, their cell phone, their television, their air conditioning, their food, they're not going to get up and they're not going to move. Something has to be taken away more than someone else's rights. Something's going to have to be taken away.
Right.
Everybody feels the impact. For people
so
to get pissed
don't
off
feel
enough
the,
to move.
The interconnectedness. And Sandy Hook was a good example of that. You know, people in this country, I had friends that were just crying their eyes out over that. But yet, you know, our country is killing that many people every day around the world. You know, innocent people, many of them children. And these people aren't crying over that. And I mean, they don't even, most of them don't even know it. And then the ones who do it just are so disconnected. But that goes back to what Brendan was saying as far as the media. In this country, like I have to go to news from other countries to find out what's going on here.
Yeah,
I do resent that, but I mean, thank God I can, you know, check out several different newspapers around the world or TV stations or something, and find out what's going on in the country I live in.
Well, I mean, hell, Al Jazeera,
yeah,
is a better news source than most of the MSM.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, like Pravda Online. I mean, you get more truth out of Pravda than you do out of New York Times, Washington Post, any of those guys. I mean, because all those things are complete lapdogs of the current administration. Matter of fact, they're the cause of the current administration. The media leftists got together and said, we're gonna find this guy and make our own government here.
Yeah.
Well, you keep the populace misinformed of what's going on next door, especially when they don't go out and venture to greet their neighbors. They have no need to. It's right out of the Khrushchev playbook.
Yeah.
You don't let them know what's going on. You know, you don't let them be informed. So, you know, a lot of lessons have been learned from tyrannical dictators in the past, and one of them is dumb down your population. One is disarm your population. One is make shit happen that gets people really, really mad to back your cause. And this has been going on since the inception.
I actually have another quote from Alan Keyes, which is off of a video I watched this afternoon. It says, "Government is the chief source of abuse against liberty throughout time in every part of the world."
Short, sweet, and oh so true.
Yeah. Democide, that word.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't possibly have a discussion about the issue of gun ownership in this country and not kind of touch on this whole little Piers Morgan, Alex Jones thing. I think that what Alex Jones did was really stupid. What do you guys think?
You know, I did not watch it. Sorry,
I was going to say I am not informed on that one. I've either missed it or haven't come across it yet.
I refuse to watch Piers Morgan after I saw him being so obnoxious to one of my other great idols of that just has that invisible friend problem, Ann Coulter. And he was so rude to Ann and was just so obnoxious and wasn't paying any attention of her ripping him a new one.
Well, I did see the people were trying to sign, or they were signing some petition for Pierce to be
deported.
Deported.
Yeah.
And all that. But I didn't see he and Alex. Was it good, Dina?
It was very good. It's worth the 10-15 minute watch. Definitely check it out.
Okay. I will then. But that's it. I mean, I get my stuff from the internet, and there's a lot of good newspapers around the world that aren't owned by one of the big six that owns everything in this country.
Conglomerations.
I find it funny myself. I just snicker when I go to Al Jazeera or Press TV or Russia Today, you know, RT, any of these, because it's like I'm just asking myself, you know, why do I have to go to these to find out what's going on where I live? But,
well, something else you might find interesting. I was watching a television show, a British television show the other day, and they had made this brief comedic quip about how Rupert Murdoch is buying out even the media over there. Mm-hmm. So now we've got this guy that's buying out all of these media sources across the pond, too. Just how many news sources is he going to eventually control?
Well, that's why I support your local alternative media, whether it's bloggers like Brendan, whether it's people that do the shows like you and I. John, you speak to people out there. I mean, you know, sorry, Dragon, but, you know, we have to support other forms of media because MSM is not giving it to us.
There's a book that everybody should read, and it's Bernard Goldberg's book, Bias. And Bernie Goldberg was a lifer at CBS News. He was 30 years newsman at CBS. And he wrote this book towards the end of Bubba's regime. And it was all about how nothing got covered that was ever sufficiently against the Clintons. And it was like, he said, it was remarkable because under Bush 1, it was like homelessness was a huge, huge, hideous, horrible problem, and it was going to tear the country apart. And a week after the election, it ceased to be a story at all. It was like, oh, we've got a real Democrat in. Oh, everything's groovy.
It's the same with Hurricane Katrina. People are still suffering in Louisiana dreadfully. Yeah. You know, the Gulf of Mexico, it's still in shambles. You know, everything's dying, you know. All these areas, people just forget. It's not the thing of the day.
But you can pick up a copy of Bias over on Amazon through the new used vendors for a penny plus the $3.99 shipping. Everybody should invest the $4 because it's this guy saying, hey, the emperor has no clothes. And he goes through it. The first thing it starts with is this, you know, the overnight cure for homelessness.
That is
because it no longer became a story they were interested in pushing. And
right.
And it goes down the list of how, you know, how the media is constantly playing us for their agenda, which is always a really leftist agenda.
And it's the agenda of the few owners. So they're going to talk about what they want people to know, and people already being dumbed down in many cases, sitting on the couch all the time, you know, chewing on the whatever. It sounds so depressing, but that's how so many people are spending their time.
Well, there's not really a lot out there that people can do anymore. People don't feel safe going out of their homes. Nobody has any money to go do anything. So people, they're going to go down into this abysmal spiral, you know, being depressed, staying at home.
But see, that's
the
whole dummy down thing, because there's a lot
exactly.
of things to do, I mean, as far as making things and getting with friends and doing things that don't cost a lot of money. But once you buy into this consumerism.
Exactly.
Which is
like reading books would be a good one.
Yeah, gee.
Yeah, reading books would be, because you can pick them up for very inexpensively, but I'm horrified when I see the stats that even college-educated people are unlikely to read another book after they leave college.
I know. I saw something the other day. They were asking people how many books they read or whatever, and these people, they said they hadn't read a whole book since they got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think I'm having a bad week if I don't have 5 books going at one time.
Yeah, I mean, I read 72 nonfiction books a year and write book reviews and publish them on the web.
Right.
And I can't imagine not – well, actually, I did go through a phase of not reading stuff because it was when I was running my publishing company. I didn't have any time for anything that wasn't a submission for us to publish because I was doing all the editing. And of not reading, and it's like – then there's a commercial, I think it's one of the insurance companies, and a guy's out front doing something into his cell phone about an accident report. And the gal comes out, and one of the people lives in his building, saying, "Oh, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm filing this accident report." "Well, I didn't think that whatever company had that." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "But I read it on the internet, and they can't put anything on the internet that's not true." And this real schlub comes down. He said, "I'm going on a date with a French model." You know, which he on the internet, and this absolute schlub comes down and says, "Bonjour."
Oh yeah.
And you know, but people are so incredibly stupid, and you know, and then you see stuff about the lack of knowledge of anybody. This goes back a couple of years. I used to have a regular routine when I had my publishing company. I'd go get the mail. I'd go over to the storage locker where I had the books, and then I'd stop at a coffee shop to go through my mail. There was some, you know, 18-year-old behind the counter at this thing, and a German family came in, and they say they were from Germany, and he says, "Oh, Hitler." And they're sitting there going, you know, you can imagine the look. He said, "Well, isn't that like hello in German?" And I'm sitting there going, you know, what planet? Why, where did this kid not have any culture? And my take on it is that there's more people like that than not. And so, which is, of course, despite the fact that I have been pushing for decades on, you know, legalization of drugs, which I don't use. And, you know, I'm suddenly thinking that this has suddenly become a useful thing because you've got people who are uneducated, perfectly willing to stare at the damn Kardashians on TV, and you throw some dope in there. And you got a real docile population.
Exactly. There you go. Give them something stupid to concentrate what little bit of focus they have left on.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Well, yeah, see, we already have something to make the civilization around us compliant, and that's the recent antidepressants, the SSRIs, Paxil, Zoloft, things like that. People can go in for problems that are not even depression related, and the doctor's ready to just pass that off.
Yeah.
Just write a prescription for it. And I have a chronic pain condition, and a doctor tried to prescribe me Celexa one time, and I'm asking him, "Why are you giving me medication for depression? I'm in pain." So they would rather prescribe me something that's going to screw up my brain chemistry than something that's going to alleviate the pain. You know, maybe I'm depressed because I'm in pain. You know, can you just
because it's not a schedule run.
Pain?
It's not a schedule one like Vicodin would be.
Yeah, and instead,
so there's
you know,
less
they
paper.
Decide, you know, they're going to prescribe something that's going to, you know, fuck up my brain chemistry for the rest of my life and cause me how many other problems? You know, I don't have any problems that this medication was designed for. Why are you pushing it so hard? So that's one thing we need to get under control. Is the,
you know, they've got it so under control in so many areas because people are dumbed down.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they make more regulations on and on with the guns, the TSA, this kind of thing. I read more about the chipping, which may be a possibility real soon. I mean, I guess it's always been a possibility for quite a while, but this led me to believe they're really going to try to push it soon.
Well, you know how we recently adopted the puppy. The puppy came into our being, and they offered to chip her the other day.
Sure.
And you know, we're thinking about it. No, we don't really want the dog chipped.
No, our cats are chipped. They came that way.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've thought about it, but no.
No, what they're going to do is they're going to play off the fears once again. Some horrible thing is going to be committed against a child. And they're going to play off the fears of new parents that are sitting in the hospital with their newborn, and they're going to say,
yes,
"You want somebody to come take your child? You know, we can low-jack your baby and track them down. Just let us insert this handy-dandy little chip right here, you know, wherever they would put it on a human child. I don't know. I don't like to think about that." But
yeah,
it's just going to come here soon.
That'll probably be it.
And a tip for any of those more active revolutionaries out there, you just have to assume that any of those government officials have chips in them so they can be located. Got to deal with those first.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Just in a theoretical thing for those more active and violent people out there.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I was thinking, how deep do those chips go? How easy is it to cut them out?
They can only be inserted subcutaneously. They can't go into the muscle layer, and they can't go into the fat layer. So it goes into the layers between that top layer of skin that you have.
Yep.
Okay, so you can take it out.
You could probably pinch one out. I mean, it would hurt really bad, but you probably wouldn't even need a knife. You could probably pull it out with your teeth. I mean, it's that close.
The other night on NCIS, the gal came in down, snuck down into the morgue and was surreptitiously removing a chip from one of the bodies. And mm-hmm. she just was able to made a very little incision and just squeezed it out.
At some point in time, something that would be put into bone, it would be harder to remove.
Yeah,
that's the thing with the new phones and all. It's, I mean, who knows what they're doing. But we veered away from just the arms, but that's good, guys. We had a very good discussion. Dragon, thank you for coming in to Chicago from Seattle.
Brenda? From Aberdeen, but yes. And I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Well, and then Dina came up from Georgia. So, the country and our opinions as the kind of pagans we are, what we think about Second Amendment and about people being armed. So we got off into several other things, and that's a good thing. So I thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
Coming
thank
in.
You.
So have a good... I was going to say a weekend. You know, usually I start my weekend on Thursday night, but I guess I'm starting on Wednesday now. Anyway, we have fun this weekend. Enjoy it.
Much love.
Blessed to be everybody.
Good night.
See everybody. Good night.